Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Into the Neuroverse presents
Sort Your Brain Out. Baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. And let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out. Lady, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out. Don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
So, hello. Welcome, everyone. This is very exciting. Welcome to Into the Neuroverse with me, Colin Holt, a neurodiversic, that's not a word, person. I'm ADHD, possibly autistic. That's part of my journey. I'm trying to discover if I am. Pretty sure I am. Be really fucked off if it turns out I'm not. Sorry, that's a terrible start. Anyway, that's not why I'm excited. I'm excited because we've got a lovely guest on today. Jamie, my usual friend, is meant to be here, but he's not. I don't know where he is. I hope he's all right. We'll find out later. The point is, I'm about to chat to Paul Gorton. I hope that's his name. I just think of him as Paul from The Traitors. From The Traitors, that wonderful show that took over our whole lives, and Paul was the big baddie in a way, but also he was very fascinating. I want to talk to him about that. I've got some questions for him from my daughter. I want to talk to him about reading people. I've heard he's a lovely guy. He looks like a lovely guy. Before I bring him on, I just want to say, if you want to support my work, the podcast, the Animan podcast, this podcast, anything I do, go to patreon.com/Colin Holt, and also go to iamcolinholt.com for all my upcoming gigs. We've got some work in progresses. We've got some live podcast recordings coming up. We've got lots of things. And also you can book me for one-to-one workshops if you want some help with your writing, or if you want to book me for a birthday message, go on Cameo and find me. That's just a little bit of a hustling there, isn't it, for a bit of cash, because I'm a long way off the kitchen extension, which was the original goal of this podcast. Anyway, enough of that. Here he is, the man himself. It's Paul from The Traitors, Gorton.
Hold on.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm recording already, Paul.
Wait, where's it?
Yay!
This is wonderful.
Look at that. Oh, this is Daniel. I don't know if you know Daniel. He does Chatterbox stuff, so you do know him, I think. But
well, my ears know him, put it that way. We've never met. Oh, you've got a nice quiff like I have as well. Yours is better than mine, though.
A lovely what? Quiff?
You've got a nice quiff.
Wait, are you talking about me or Paul? You're Paul. You're talking about me or Daniel?
Do you know what? We've all got good quiffs.
I've got a sort of Billy Whiz.
Yeah,
the Beano. Mine's sort of going.
You probably got the worst out of the three of us. It probably It probably goes Dan, then me, then you.
Well, so the world's bonkers at the moment. The fact that David Walliams is doing that is just.
He's got quite a scraggly beard, though.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like. It's not groomed, is it?
He's doing more of a comedy version. Have you seen it already?
No, I've not. So I'm going to watch it. I've seen little images and stuff like that. And I've just received another one. But no, I've not. I don't know what's coming. So I don't know what his voice is going to be like or how he's going to act.
He's made you look quite like a sort of Hills Have Eyes type. Like an evil villager who's got, which, you know, for the comedy, I think that's fair enough. But I think it's a beautiful combination. I really do. And I think you could sell it as a, as
well, you can do an impression of me as well, can't you?
So this is my journey. I've got a long journey with you, Paul. I'm sure most people in England now feel, and Britain, UK, maybe the world. it's not just an English thing, but we feel we've got on a journey with Paul. I'm giddy. I'm excited to see you. It feels like You must get this all the time now that people feel like they, because like people see me and sometimes recognize me, but they half the time it's like, sorry, mate, what do I know you from? And then I have to explain, and that's not fun. But then sometimes they, if they know me, they're like, oh, I like that thing you did. Or, you know, no one said I didn't like that thing you did, thankfully. But for you, it's like we've been with you. It's like you've been in our house.
Well, so there's two things really. So first of all, I'm a massive fan of yours. So
thank you.
So, you know, Derek and Afterlife, your characters for me are the ones that kill me. We had quite similar characters maybe in Derek, actually, because you were kind of like a dislikable northern guy, and that's kind of the character I have in The Traitors. But there's a weird thing at the moment where I'm recognised everywhere and I've got no talent. And then there's other people that aren't really recognised and are really talented. So I don't know which one I prefer to be.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? It's that I was gonna kind of, my friend Jamie was meant to be on this. I don't know where he is, but he's a director. He does directing with me and he comes on my pods and all stuff. And he's a lovely guy, but he has not seen The Traitors, as has no concept of it.
He's the only one.
I think he could be the last guy. He could be the last man standing who hasn't seen it. He was like, okay, have you seen it yet, Jamie? You've got to watch it. He was like, oh, God, all right. No, I haven't watched it, you know. And I think for actors and people in the theatre world, you know, the idea of reality people, I was thinking about it earlier, and I was thinking it's like, not that you're a reality person. That maybe sounds derogatory.
Well, I kind of am. No, I'm with it.
Well, it's somewhere in between a sort of game show. But also, you've already done stuff a bit, haven't you, with Chatterbix, and you're kind of, you're on that, you were already looking to be an actor, weren't you, I think?
Yeah, there's kind of like, it's a world. Thing. Yeah, I've always wanted to be in that world. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, but I think actors, maybe not so much now, but I reckon definitely 10 years ago, actors were all like kind of a bit like, you know, like the MP Lee Anderson, the way he is about immigrants. I think that was a risque joke, but I think actors are a bit like that about reality stars. Do you know what I mean? They're coming over here, they're taking all our work.
It does feel like that. And do you know what? And it's dead weird because, like, it's a reality game show, but you are a reality star, really. And I went to the Oscars. I went to like a screening of the Oscars in London last Sunday. And that's the first time I've been in a place that felt like that. And he was like, what do you do? And it was all composers and directors and all that type of stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, I was in a show called The Traitors. It's like a big like reality game show thing. And I did okay in that. And they were like, oh, right, yeah, not seen it. No, no, no. And I was like, oh, okay.
The thing is, people are just wrong. Like, I was talking to my old mates back from Nottingham. I was saying, oh, have you seen The Traitors? It's great. And I told them, actually, I was like, oh, Paul's going to come on. This was ages ago. Because I got completely with my ADHD, which we'll go on to a minute, I get completely stuck into something like that. So, like, all I could think about was The Traitors for about three weeks. And it all just, like, my daughter's now doing that. She's on her third go-round.
Well, I'm furious at her anyway, so we're not allowed to talk about her on the pod.
All right. Well, she has got three questions for you, actually, which we'll come to.
Fine.
But you are her fourth favourite.
Exactly.
I think that's because she's watching series one at the minute. So she's like, she's going to, when she goes back to series two, you'll be back. She's obsessed with Wilf. You've met him. You've hung out with Wilf, haven't you?
Yeah, he's horrible.
He's not. I love him.
Wilf is amazing. So I've hung around with him and we've done some work together. We've got something coming out soon, actually. So sadly, he is just a lovely fella. So fair play to her.
But the reality, but is that I think anyone watches it, you do get suckered in. It is so exciting. Like, I was a bit like, oh yeah, what's this thing? And actually it was watching you, a tweet from Chatterbix where they were talking to you and he said, like, this is how it started. Wow. And then it was him saying to you, oh, you've got to watch it. It's so good. And that conversation made me watch it. And then I was just in, completely hooked.
Well, it was same. Like, I'd never seen it until Dave and Joe was like, because we were talking about Deal or No Deal. And David said, you know, I don't even know whether you've been on that show. Mm-hmm. And that literally made Joe go, oh my God, it's like The Traitors, you should apply.
Yeah.
And then from there, I mean, you know what I'm like from listening to the show, like, I'll do anything. Yeah, go on, I'll give it a go. And then I applied for a laugh. And then that escalated, didn't it?
It feels like you're taking it well, though. I watch a lot of your stuff on Insta. It feels like you're kind of going, look, I'm getting all this stuff right now. It's great fun. I'm going to enjoy it while it's here.
And oh, my God. I've got no expectations. Like, if people want me to do stuff, then amazing. And then if it all fails away, then I don't know. I'll go and try and do something else down the line.
Definitely act though, buddy. You could definitely watching you. What? So the thing when I said I did an impression of you, I didn't actually. I slightly got confused. What? So I'm doing this work in progress at the minute, right?
Right.
I talk about my family, my upbringing. It's all about. It's very silly and funny. It sounds very heavy, but it's not. It's all about autism and all this. Do you know what I mean? And basically, it's looking at people in the past and going, oh my God, they all were. You know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And I have this whole thing about how we didn't have words like autism and neurodiversity. You know, we had a phrase which was just, he's not right. And that's all you needed. He's not right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or he's just hyper.
Yeah. Or he's, yeah. He's wapper. That's what he used to say. Did you have that one?
Wapper?
He's a bit wapper.
No, I've never
had. I suppose you spoke WAPPY. Always right. Always right. Wappy, that one. Oh, you know,
I think you've got to be wappy to use the word wappy.
Yeah. Well, I think I think everyone I grew up was completely wappy.
Is this Nottingham?
Nottingham, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I talk a bit in it, right? I've been watching a lot of The Traitors and you helped me, right? I've got a venue that I really wanted at the Pleasance for Edinburgh. It's the Cabaret Bar at 8 o'clock, which is right. The big one. You know, it's like the kind of people who are really, really having their moment kind of do that slot. So I'm so excited about it. And I went in and did a work in progress and the guys in the Pleasance were there. And it was like, I just went in going, I'm going to win this. I'm going to do this. And when I was going through it, and I thought, so I have this whole bit at the end, without spoiling it too much, where I talk about my dad, he was the only neurotypical one. And I have this whole metaphor of him just dragging us all like to normality, like trying to keep, come on, mate, come on, lad. Yeah,
Bianca.
Normal. And then I had this whole bit at the end where he could have turned around, just sat with us and talked to us and gone, are you all right, mate? Are you okay?
Exactly right.
And like, bless him, he's no longer with us. And I wish, you know what I mean? Like, obviously it's too late for that now, but as I was doing it and I was sort of working this out in rehearsals just by myself, you know, and I was like, oh, what am I, how am I talking like this? Where's this coming from? And I was being Paul off The Traitors. Just like going like, right, let's just, like, I wasn't really doing your voice as such, but I was like going, right, because I do the image of like, he's dragging us, we're in boats, and he's like, got chains around us, dragging it. It's very complicated, but it's like Jason the Argonauts, like Poseidon pulling us, and we're in our boats being wapper. And he's like, come on, you're all right, shut up, you know. And then I was like, he could have just turned around, sat down, and I like sit down on stage and sort of go, just come in, right, come and have a word. What's going on, guys? What's happening?
That's it.
There's something I need to know.
That's it. Problem?
And I was like, that's you, isn't it? And I was like, I'm being him. I'm channeling him. That's why I was immediately, I think I did that. I was like, I've got to see if Paul will come on this, because there's a lot of what this show is meant to be about. And I feel like I've finally sort of got the format down, but it's just trying to understand just different people's ways of doing stuff and stuff where I have gaps and where I struggle. And just watching you being able to talk to people in that way. I mean, obviously, it was also at the same time incredibly deceptive and manipulative and narcissistic. But it was very impressive, just a way of like... Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to ask you some creators questions first, because obviously I'm sure everyone wants to know. But you're all happy, are you, Paul? I haven't even checked it.
I feel like this could be the start of like a 10-hour job. And Dan knows this probably more than
I know. I know. I'm nervous because I will. I'm on point one. Do you know what I've done? I read this book about writing, which is break everything into threes, right? And then break that into threes, and then break that into threes. So I've got three sections. Dan will know. I never do any of this work. I normally just end up. Last time we just talked about Craig Fairbrass with Ethan Lorre, the actor. He's the actor from like.
Rise. Oh, I love Ethan. Who's Craig?
He's that really big guy. He's the guy in, do you remember the film Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone?
Bloody hell, Colin, that's a reference in it.
That's a reference back in it. Oh, you're a bit younger than me, aren't you? How old are you, Paul? You're only
36.
36? I'm nearly 10 years older than me. That breaks my heart.
No. We're all the same. Like, white men are all middle-aged. We're all the same.
White men with beards.
White men with beards. With like, I'm a bit disappointed you've not got a quarter zip on.
I don't think I've got any quarter zippers.
Do you not? Says a lot about it.
For a stage of that, I like it though. It's quite a sporty thing. I want to get onto that in a minute. I want to get thick and fast. If you must know who Craig Fairbrass is, he's the guy in the film Cliffhanger. There's a baddie out of the baddies who is British, and it's very funny because there's a bit where he's kicking Stallone in the head, but he's relating it to football. But obviously, because it's American. he has to say, call it soccer. So it just sounds really weird.
Yeah.
Soccer's a great bloody game, mate. And I'm going to, do you know what? As I'm saying it, I'm literally thinking that might not be Craig Fairbass, but I'm pretty sure it is. But anyway, he's one of them. He's a massive, you know, big, tough Ray Winston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, end up talking about him for a lot. But so, Paul on Traitors.
Yes.
So, okay. So one thing I was thinking about, in a way, watching you on Traitors, is I was thinking about it. It made me think it's almost like with Trump, right? The way people know you're wrong. Like, yeah. I think a lot of people knew you were wrong. I don't mean you were wrong, but as in like...
Kind of.
Like Jazz, because he's had that... Very interesting, because he's had that manipulative, abusive stuff in the past.
He
could spot when someone's lying and stuff, which is really interesting. But like with Charlotte and stuff, there's almost like this, and I feel like as someone watching it, it's like I want you to just tell me what to do, mate. Even though I know you're bad for me, I want it.
Yeah, and do you know what? I didn't realize. That's good. I want to be this character. I'm reading American Psycho. I'm trying to be Patrick Bateman.
Right.
Really
nice. Deliberate.
I'm reading American Psycho on the train there. You know, like every single night, I probably do 4 or 5 pages. And like, I love that film. And so it's constantly in my brain. So then I'm thinking, well, that's a nice guy in the day, really dangerous guy that no one would assume that he could kind of be capable of these murders.
Yeah.
Kind of like what I'm doing. So I'm making people, well, not making people fall in love with me. Like I'm building really strong connections just because that's who I am as a person. But in my brain, I'm going, well, this is a game. So I know that I can try and manipulate a situation because it's not about the lies. Like lies are kind of like more difficult to try and remember, to try and stay on top of. It's more about the manipulation and the steering, which is more of like a sport. And so that's the best bit.
In your mind, it's a bit like, do you remember the game The Sims, where you've got all your different Sims going around the house, and like that one needs to go to the toilet, that one needs to eat. In your head, if you kind of got those 12 people or whatever it is, and you're sort of like, okay, at the minute, Jazz is there, he's a bit dangerous, Charlotte's there, she's fine, don't need to think about her. Exactly. Is it like that? Is your brain actually doing that?
Yeah, but almost in more depth. So I was writing scripts of conversations that I think may happen. So if that happens, then this will happen. And if they say that, I've got 3 things to say back to that. And Jazz is a really interesting one because Jazz was never a threat to the traitors. And that's why we left him in the game.
Did you, because his thing was he knew, he was super clever because he was like, I know who they are, but I'm not going to let them know I know. And did you know that he knew?
So Jazz is a really interesting one because the people that we think we can win against are the ones that we left in the show, the ones that were the biggest threats we killed, and the ones that were in the middle, like your Charlies and your maybe Antonies and these type of guys, we kind of let them kind of stay in there until we wanted to dictate where they should be going, whether they should be banished or stay. So it was on purpose that Jazz was left in that game. And so
he'd be in the middle, would he, Jazz?
Jazz was the least amount of threat to the traitors.
And did you know that he knew about you? Because he sort of knew about Harry.
I think all of us, I'm not sure about Harry actually, but like every time I spoke to him, I was like, I'm not convincing this guy. However, if you were to watch, this is an interesting point.
Yeah.
If you were to watch the show back, without the diary rooms and without the turrets and without knowing who the traitors are, you would think Jazz was a traitor. Because going around behind people's backs, spreading rumors, if I die tomorrow, then it's them. Yeah. Having secret conversations, all that type of stuff is things that doesn't build trust. So that's why Jazz didn't have trust of his fellow faithfuls in the show.
Man, but that again, that goes back to this Trump thing, because it's like, sorry to go about Trump.
This is why you're like Donald Trump.
But I know it's got very highbrow, hasn't it? Very political. But like, what I mean is like the thing that I find fascinating with Trump and other people, sort of populist people, is they're telling you, sometimes he's literally, saying things like, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue or whatever it was, and I'd still get voted. And they're telling you they're telling you the truth, Whereas Chaz is actually asking genuine questions and he's being honest, but he seems dishonest.
But it seems dishonest. And that's the beauty of
that's
the show.
That's quite frightening about life in a way, because that's like...
Yeah, because it's... And again, it comes down to not what you know, it's what you can prove. Mm. But for example, when me and Chaz were in the corridor together, after that, we then walked into the communal room and he told five or six people that I was a faithful. So regardless of what you know... You've just told everyone I'm a faithful. So next time you call me a traitor, they're all going to go, well, that's not what you said the other day. And right. It creates conflict and confusion. And there's the survival element of the show as well means that when we're at the round table, for argument's sake, if you know someone's going to be picked up on, like Johnny, for argument's sake, when he got voted, the traitors, we just sit back and we let everyone else kind of like, they're all in this constant state of stress and confusion. However, a lot of the faithfuls will go, well, I actually don't think he is a traitor, but voting for him tonight gets me another day. And the biggest manipulation of the faithfuls is making them think the further they are to the closer they are to the final, the more chance they've got of winning. When really, the closer a faithful is to the final, if the traitors are in control, it's the more likely they're going to lose, like Molly and Jazz.
Manipulate them into a place where you just chop them off at the end.
They were manipulated. So Molly and Jazz, in the nicest way possible, because it's a game, right? They're lovely people. Yeah. But let's say we're in a game. They're the ones that you wanted in the final.
Yeah.
You don't want Diane. You don't want who else? Like Kyra, Jasmine, all these people that are really strong and don't take shit and would go, hold on a minute, that's weird. Andrew's just called you out. Like, why would you? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Jazz sat on that information in the corridor the entire show and then said, that's a bit weird. There was no like fight, like, you know, an accusation. You've got to be a lawyer.
I've got this information. He needed to work out how he was going to say it and drop it in.
I don't think he 100% believed that Harry was a traitor. I think he might have still been in a bit of flux. I don't think he knew fully how to execute calling someone out. So every time he did it at the round table, it never went to plan. It was always kind of bad. Even when at my banishment, he had been flying the flag for me for so long.
He didn't get the applause or the sort of, like, you're watching it.
Well, he got five votes or four votes. So he actually made himself look a traitor when he called me out.
Yeah.
And everyone went to Harry. Even he went to Harry. And it's
it is a game, but it's more than a game. It is life in a way. And it's why it's quite, almost, I find it quite distressing. You know, I think my daughter is trying to get ahead. That's why she's so obsessed with it at the minute. She's trying to get ahead around what it means for life.
In society,
In society, in a way. Yeah, definitely. Because it's like, in a way, what was I going to say there? With Jazz there saying those things, but like you're watching it and seeing them as quite heroic. And that's what I was going to say. It's almost like, you know, 12 Angry Men, that great film, one of the best films ever.
Yeah.
Seen it? It's a jury of 12 men. It seems very, very clear and obvious that the guy is killed. So basically someone's up for a murder charge.
Yeah.
They're pretty sure he's done it. It's like cut and dry. And there's one guy who's Henry Fonda from the beginning is going, well, hang on a minute. Let's just look at it again. And then the whole film is him just like slowly changing all 12 people's minds.
Oh, wow.
And eventually they let the guy off. And it's, oh my God, it's amazing.
And did the guy do it?
Oh, no. I assume the idea is he didn't. But it's all like kind of like the woman who gave the testimony that she saw him. She was like badly sighted and all this stuff. And there was and then one guy, the killer or the supposed killer, the defendant is Mexican, I think. And then one guy, there's a bit where it just comes out. He's just completely prejudiced. And he just does this big Lee Anderson type rant. You know?
Oh, really? Yeah.
Name Lee Anderson again. he's a bit on my brain. He literally is the MP for the place my dad used to work. So I feel like it's personal now. Anyway. But I'm trying to stop it being political. Anyway, but it's great to watch. But in a way, in reality, you know, I mean, it's not reality. It is a reality show. But Jazz was Henry Fonda there. He is the one guy going... No, look at that. Look, it's him. Yeah. It's got to be him and him. And everyone's but like you're saying, he's not doing it. He's not thinking it through.
And there's a balance because he's also saying a lot of these people are faithfuls. So I'm like, and it's not just jazz. Like it's like Molly's in there as well. Evie's in there. Anyone that was kind of getting towards that final, they thought, like, I think a big thing was a lot of them kind of knew it was me. And then it was like, how do on earth do we prove it? Because every time we call Paul out, we don't go anywhere with it. And this is the one thing after the show or even watching it back. And what's the guy's name? Is it Krishna Guru Murphy?
Yeah.
He did this thing on Uncloaked, the pod after the show. And he said, Paul's got an ego. Paul knows his own ego and his own arrogance and all that type of stuff, which I'm very self-aware of that. But he said, but what Paul doesn't get is the power he has on the table. And I totally didn't know this at all. And Krishna was like, this is how dictators and the powerful leaders get into play, because people, they build fear and they have this power. And I had no idea about any of that stuff.
There's that, and there's the lovely bit seeing your face, you know, when you're doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
You can see you're like, oh my God. And it's like, they're fucking falling for it. They're going for it.
But there's also.
I think that's what like Trump does, for example. He'll say a mad thing and then people go, yeah, more, give us more. And he's like, It reminds me of some within the sort of industry, comedy and stuff industry, a lot of producers sometimes you'll talk to them. And you'll mention a book or a film, and certain types of people, it's not just producers, but I guess producers end up in these sort of roles, but we'll go, oh, yeah, I've read that. Yeah. And you think, have you? Do you know what I mean? Yes. I remember one person in particular where I go, you know that book, blah, blah, blah. And they go, And they do a leading question like, oh, because it's the one with.
Yeah. And then at the end,
they go, yes, I know it. Yes. Yeah. I'd be thinking, I know you don't. And I think you know that I know you don't.
Exactly. But I've just done it with you. Yeah, when you said about the 12
men. Yeah.
And I said, I don't think I have.
I wish I was that clever.
I'm thinking of the Colin Farrell one where he was like, isn't it seven people with Colin Farrell?
Seven psychopaths.
That's what I thought. Seven. So number.
And it's seven brides for seven brothers.
Yeah. And then I went 12
monkeys. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we said that at the same time.
Yeah, we did.
That felt like a moment.
Energy.
Yeah, didn't it?
I want, mate, I'm ready to do a double. I'm ready to do a movie, whatever you want, you know. Just
call. OnlyFans.
What?
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. I'm ready to do OnlyFans.
Why not? There's no gingers on there. I don't think we're allowed.
You could do the admin and promotion. right, I've got three questions from my daughter.
Okay, hit me.
Are you happy? Are you bored of talking about traitors, by the way? We'll talk about
I don't get bored of talking.
You're going to be an old man going, I remember. And then Harry, of course.
Jazz was
pipped in at the last moment. The thing about jazz, and you're at this big dining table, all your family, all your children and grandchildren are sat around, and you've been asleep for half an hour, and there's someone rake up granddad, and you go, what was I saying about jazz?
Jazz.
You wake up like Alan Partridge thinking jazz is coming for you. Get away, jazz.
Any last words?
Like your Jacob Marley. He comes. Change your ways, Paul. Anyway, this is all good stuff for Comic Relief. If they'd come to me, I would have done it. Do you know I was on Comic Relief years ago with Rowan Atkinson in
his
last Mr. Bean sketch. I was sort of the guy giving like faces. Straight faces, like, what are you doing, mate? Kind of faces. Anyway, I then worked with him again. I'm a huge fan, Verona. He's probably my number one.
I was going to say, this is like the biggest name drop in the world.
And I hope he sort of doesn't hear this, because then I worked with him again and he was telling me about it and he'd forgotten. I was the guy in it with him. But he was very apologetic and very like, but to be fair to him, I think when he does Mr. Bean, I think he. It's like another world. It's like he's literally gone into a different.
Yeah, he forgets who Rowan is, right?
Oh my God, it's amazing. And the detail, I'm such a sort of big hammy actor, but the level to which he'll just like change tiny stuff.
Anyway. Yeah, he's almost nothing, isn't he? Like, he's like, I love, I've never acted in my life, but I love looking. Like, I watched, The Gentleman that's just come out on Netflix.
No, I haven't yet. No.
So that I always mispronounce his surname. It's Peter Serafinowicz.
Yes.
He's in that, and there's a scene, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, you have stopped being Peter there, you are just fully that. You know, sometimes you can see people that are, you know,
yeah.
With Ricky Gervais, I go, well, that's Ricky, and he's doing an act, and it's brilliant. Yeah, yeah. This Peter, I was like, oh, I forgot who Peter is in real life. Same with Mr. Bean.
Lovely moment. And from the other side, when I have those moments, I don't always find it on TV. To be fair, probably in Ricky's things, the times I have the most, because he just lets me run quite a lot with it. But yeah, like when I've done it live, it is like a spiritual moment. When you like, right. I don't think of myself as a good actor or anything, you know, in that, as in like, I still, you know, when I see actors talk, I think, oh, I don't do any of that. You know, like,
oh no, Colin.
I haven't worked it out. But like when I have like live on stage, when I've been like my characters like Anna Mann or like Len Park, and there's this moment where you go, they're looking at me, but they're seeing someone else now.
Yeah.
Like I'm seeing them as someone else. It's quite a beautiful moment. But did you find that at all when you were doing all your little scams and manipulations? Did you feel like they're almost looking at a different person now?
Yeah. Well, the whole world was introduced to me, the whole world. Everybody in the world was introduced. No, the UK people that watch the show, see, I'm trying to bring myself down a bit. No, the people that watch the show.
Mate, just enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, the universe. They.
When you're checking into Narcotics Anonymous, maybe.
Maybe they were introduced down a bit. To me in like a... They were introduced to the most extreme version of me. And because it's reality, everyone thinks these are... And I don't think anyone else was trying to do a bit of a character. Where like, yeah, I'm watching it back and I'm enjoying like seeing me being this devilish person. And yeah, I got loads of abuse online and loads of trolling and all that type really? Of stuff. But I don't find it offensive because it's like, I'm sat watching it and going, God, we need to get this guy out of the show. Like, this is like, I can't believe he's acting like this and saying people taste like dark chocolate when he's killed them and all that type of stuff. So yeah, when I watch it, it's, I feel like it's not me.
Yeah, you're like, nom, 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 nom.
So it's delicious. Well, because in the back of my brain, on the way, like when I knew that I was going on the show,
yeah,
like I'm not a fan of people that sit and go, oh, I feel really bad that I did that.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you've not actually killed them. You know, like, you've sent them out the room, in effect.
It's quite incredible. The first series, especially the second series, everyone seems a bit more playing the game and they're a bit more.
Yeah, of course.
But that first series, I think that was why it was so incredible, because everyone just immediately becomes unbelievably emotional.
Yeah.
Like Theo was the funniest. You know, he's like, it was like, why would the traitor? It was when Claire got killed. I already know this because my daughter's literally watching it again. Theo's her number three, by the way. No, number two. It's Wilfred. Wow. Wilfred, Theo, Andrea, and then you, Paul.
Theo was number two, yeah.
When she got killed, which is right at the start, and they'd only been together like a day or something. And yeah, then he said to me like, why would the traitors do this? They know she's my friend. It was like, they know. It was like, wow. Let's get Theo up fighting for justice. Do you know what I mean? Because he could really make an impact, but like, yeah, he just, you know, like, what? Why would the traitors do this? And what the thing I kept saying to my wife, I kept texting her all the time, she's like, we need to get these traitors out. Because I just love that phrase. Just when people would say it, like, we need to get these traitors out. Like, it's kind of like,
oh, it's bonkers.
Like, we need
but
to.
But Diane did that.
We've got rats in the house. We've got to get rid of them. It's like, just this, the serious. And I really struggle with that in life as a, and I think this is a neurodiverse thing, is like, I really struggle taking shit like that seriously. I was really bad at games because I just couldn't, you know, and people, even in football, when people are like shouting at you to pass the ball and stuff, and I'd start laughing.
Yeah.
I find it very hard to take that sort of stuff seriously when people are really serious.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people ask me that, how do you do it? Because I feel like I'm somewhere on that little spectrum as well. And I feel like I removed emotion and feeling from it, because I'm quite easy to detach away from feelings. Yeah. So right. Like, I feel like I use that as well, and then also use being a character, and like I feel like I've got unlimited energy. Like, so like, you know, I guess
in life you have unlimited energy.
Oh, in life, this is, yeah, literally what I'm
and
like.
That does come off you. I do love that.
24/7.
Another inspiration.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Thought you burn out, mate.
When you get like little down, like moments, you know, do you just kind of jump over them or do you just ignore them or do you just go, do you process them?
No, I store it. I'm trying to have like a really big aneurysm in about 30 years' time. So I just kind of keep it all locked in the box. But then, like, we've got a little 2-year-old. So, like, there's times that, like, I'll get like frustrated or angry, but it comes out in like a micro burst, and then I go back to being like this. Like, I don't have an in between. I have a catastrophe or, like, you know, super positive. I don't have any other settings.
I love all this. Is it? Do you like yourself?
Yeah.
I'm happy with who you are. But I don't know. You say that in a sort of jokey way, but I don't think you have arrogance and ego in the way some people say. I don't know.
No, I think
You have a genuine, I am happy in who I am. And that's why you can play these games. Because other people like bless him, you know, Theo, who I think comes across an absolutely lovely person.
Yeah, and of course.
You might be lovely friends of, but has a lot of holes for, I don't mean in that way.
And I think it's right. And
things
I think
that he needs to fill. So obviously Claire for him was like this mum figure.
Yeah.
Like, they've taken away my mum. What have they done? Why would the traitors do this? You know. And I feel like you don't need that. And it's, for me, it's very, it's very attractive, Paul. I realize I don't want you to think I'm coming on to you. I'm not.
It's sexy though, isn't it? A lot of people say it. It is sexy. I think, I don't know how to word it. Maybe I'm just, maybe now, like I'm just secure. But like, I'm also like, no one loves self-deprecation more than I do. So like, you know, I keep saying to Kate, I look like Quasimodo in The Turret, like one of the ugliest men in the world when I'm in there. And like, I don't know, I feel like it's took me a long time almost to get to a point where like, I feel secure, I genuinely am just really happy and positive. But then I also love the idea of making other people feel happy and positive and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But then growing up, like, I mean, kind of like you in a way, like in school, I was like I wasn't naughty. I was the class clown. I've got no GCSEs because I couldn't sit and study.
Right.
I couldn't stay in one place because, you know, my brain didn't work that way. So like, I just wanted to make people laugh. One of the things I did when I was in school at my GCSEs is I sat, when you're in a hall and you're all kind of like getting ready to do your tests, when the teacher said, okay, you can begin, I sat and I didn't even open my page because I knew it was making the other kids laugh and they were going like this and going, and I thought that's funnier to me than actually writing, you know, when the locomotive was created, which who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so is that your driving force? Do you think that's your passion, is to make others laugh or to entertain?
I kind of just want to make people to feel happy. Like if I can make, like my whole thing, you know, everyone wants to go and get rich and make £1 million. And my thing is, can I make 1 million people laugh or 1 million people feel happy?
Oh, that's lovely.
And then in that little moment, then, you know, I've done something that, you know, anyone can go make a load of money type of thing, but it's how much impact you have on others.
Definitely.
Which is what I measure myself with.
I think, you know, I've been an actor for 20 years and had been, you know, it's always feast or famine, darling, as they say, you know, and it's
I bet.
I mean, literally, you know, I have like a period where I'm like, and also I'm so bad with money. I'm just like, get a load of money. I'm like, great, let's just spend it all today.
Just spend it because I'll make some more.
Forget that then there'll be 3 months where nothing comes in potentially. But there's always been this bit in my mind where I'm like, I almost feel a bit belittled by those sort of people who are like, are about money. Do you know what I mean? Are about thinking that. And it's only recently I think I've come to accept, no, what I do is they don't have that.
They're pouring
what I have. They're poor.
We swear, can't we? Swear, fun. No.
You are?
Can we swear?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So anyone...
But we put quite a few swears in afterwards because it's quite a laddie podcast, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah. Anyone that's like that, I say, fuck off!
Yeah.
Fuck off! No, like, I think my biggest thing at the moment is I like doing things that are like anti-wellness because the world, everyone's throwing themselves in ice baths. Everyone's listening to Stephen Bartlett telling everyone he's rich and they're trying to be like him. And I'm just dead against all of it. I think just be happy, be positive, have lie-ins, have hot showers, and stop listening to men talking about like money and business. And this is you do that. And it's like,
I have used a lot of that stuff, but a lot. I think there's definitely for me a line between stuff that is genuinely quite. Oh, that's reflective. That's
yeah.
I mean, that's philosophy. That's interesting. That's opened a doorway for my writing or my thinking about stuff, you know. But then there's some stuff where I'm like, you're just trying to get money out of me, aren't you?
You're just trying to sell tablets that can help you focus or whatever it is.
Snake oil stuff, you know. And
I think the
difference is, I think when someone's approached it scientifically or something, and then when someone's gone, I know how to save you. I think if anyone ever says anything like that, then it's Trump territory. It's like,
exactly.
I am the answer.
Yeah.
But if they say, here's a interesting look at that kind of behavior, you know, then that's different. But yeah, lovely. All right, Paul. Well, you haven't got much time, have you, buddy?
I've got a meeting at 2:00.
Okay. Well, can I have you for 10 more glorious minutes?
Well, you can have me for 19 more glorious minutes.
19? Oh, wonderful.
I'm very live, so there's no prep in my head.
I love that. There's never normally is for me. This is how I'm putting you on such a pedestal, Paul, because I've written out questions and I've never done that for any fucker. Normally.
Well, it's because I do ice baths and I'm a millionaire.
Yeah. them ice baths. Well done on that, actually. I did see on one of those programs someone who's like swimming under the Arctic. And you just go, what? Why are you doing that?
Stay at home. Just watch a film.
I think, yeah. Well, I mean, anyway, but you are a very comfortable in yourself person. I think a lot of people do need something, don't they? They need some kind of jolt or whatever.
Yeah, I think this is what people do.
People fall into traps and get by people like you, to be fair.
Yeah, there's something that they want to answer in themselves. And I think all of this type of stuff is like distraction. I'll feel better because I'll go into an ice bath, or I'll feel better because I'll run 5K. When instead, if they just sat down and gone, oh, well, actually, why am I like this? Why do I want to lose weight? Why am I thinking these thoughts? And go and seek actual help. Like everyone in the UK, go and get a therapist.
Oh, the best.
And don't go on Instagram.
Have a therapist? Have you?
No, I've not. But my brain, I'm my own little therapist. But
yeah, I don't think I've got enough money
to have a therapist because I feel like I'd be there constantly. But that's self-help in the right way. But anyone that goes on an ice bath, you know, like this.
Yeah.
I just think, you know.
Something else going on there, isn't there?
You need more help than anyone.
Part of my podcast doing this is it's literally free therapy. Like I come away, I've had a lovely chat with someone. I've learned some stuff about my life and I've talked for ages.
Colin, well, I'm exactly the same as you. And doing chatty bits for the past few years is exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it's also nice just talking to people and connecting with people.
Uh-huh.
And there's no goal, you know. I don't know whether you've got a goal for talking to me.
Sort of. Well, I try to give myself one, but then I inevitably throw it out the window. For the listener, something to kind of go, what am I trying to achieve? So I do have some questions, though.
Yeah, sorry.
One of my friends, I did ask my little parenting group, my lovely little parenting group, who were very supportive and lovely, but they said they only got one question. And I don't think you can even answer it. Were you staying in a Premier Inn or were you actually staying in the castle?
I can't answer it. All the stuff that I did on telly and people want to know where I slept. Like I killed like eight people.
They did say, to be fair, that's quite a boring question. Sorry. Anyway, my daughter has got much better question, right? And she's nine. So if you can answer in such a way that she understand, although she's very bright nine. I don't really know. Okay. Well, what it is. No, but why Ash is her first question. Why did you turn on Ash when she was a she couldn't understand, in a way, I guess for her it's a bit like goodies and baddies. She couldn't understand a baddie turning on a baddie, I suppose.
Yeah, and it's a really good question. And there was a lot of thought behind it. So the traitor season one started with three traitors. We've now started with four. And we started with three and we were able to recruit to make us into a four. Mm-hmm. When we looked at the first day in the castle together, Ash, like when she got accused by Sonya, she didn't look like she could have taken that role on and performed really well at it. And there's a danger that she could implicate you in some of the stuff.
So you've actually got to get her out.
Yeah, I thought it was too big. And if you speak to Ash, she'll say the same. It was too big of a risk to keep her in the team. Mm. So we had to, and there's a very fine line between someone that's not performing and you can kind of bring them up and you can kind of like help them along. Mm-hmm. And then there's a line where you just think, actually, there's probably not a lot of help that we can do there in a finite amount of time. So she's got to go.
You see, I would feel so bad, though. I would feel too bad. But that's your playing the game, isn't it? That's your really going, it's just a game.
Yeah, it's 100%. And maybe I'm over trusting in people or how people can deal with things. But I think it was okay. Like, I knew everything that I was doing. The people I was doing it to, like, we would still be connected and friends afterwards. And they would definitely know it was only a game.
I love that bit, the bit where you were with Andrew. I wanted to make a little, because I did a couple of, I told you about bloody reality stuff and all that, because I went on TikTok and I put some of my videos of me doing stand-up. They got like, you know, 500 views. I did one impression of Andrew and it got like 750,000.
No.
Yeah, it's insane. And you're like, oh, okay. All those 20 years I've spent, not very good impression, just kind of like, you're just going, you know, I'm a traitor, aren't I? I don't know. Is he not a trader? I don't know. I found him very fascinating, and he stopped on my Instagram. A bit scared, so I'm going to get him on here if he's up for it.
Well, he's amazing, and he's on his
I
own.
Found his story now. Really touching, and sorry.
Well, he died. Like he was a dead guy a minute or something. No, for a minute in his car crash, he was dead.
Oh right, oh I see, Yeah.
And then he's a man that has died and come back to life. And then he's on this big thing at the moment. If you follow him on Instagram, he's doing a whole thing about wellness and about, what's he doing? He's doing mental health. Baths. So absolutely. Yeah. You should talk to him because he's a super lovely guy as well. He's a big teddy bear.
Yeah. Well, he was a really interesting journey for me because he's someone who I was thinking if I'd be in that castle, I'd be quite like, oh, he looks quite terrifying, which is really wrong of me and very prejudiced of me.
I was going to kill him first because of that.
Well, because he looked like he'd be more like, you remember Kieran in series one? Like he'd be a kind of bloke and kind of take over and a bit more like, whoa. But actually he was like just beautiful, a beautiful soul. I loved
it. He was the most, so when he first came in, he did this big speech at the start. What are you, everyone? All the best and all this stuff. And I looked at him and I was like, you're gone. I'm not having you in this battle. And then I then bonded with him. This shows how quick things you can flip on your opinion of people. Yeah. I then bonded with him. So he's probably one of the closest people I was with in there, hence why I recruited him.
Yeah.
And he is the softest, most sensitive and like caring giant bodybuilder that you could ever meet. He was incredible.
There's like an ability to him, isn't there? It's like he sort of protects animals and...
Yeah, exactly right.
Do you know what I mean? He has that kind of...
He was amazing. And like, there's also a little bit of like, it is a game, but then also I would never be put in a room with all of these people. So let's learn what we can about these people. So Diane was another one that I connected with. I try my best to kind of bond with as many people as possible because that's just the type of person that I am. But then in the back of my brain as well, I think, oh, well, I want to win this game show as well. So, you know, it's an interesting one to try and navigate.
I felt what I was going to do as a little sketch when I got excited. I saw ADHD, I get really excited by TikTok. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then I basically forgotten it exists 2 weeks later. So I've never done it. But we're at the height of it, I thought, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do like, and also I couldn't be bothered to set all the cameras up or whatever. I'm going to have you, I'm going to be you and then Andrew cutting between you. Because that, and recreate that scene where you're going like, where he's going, oh, I don't know. I feel like you've sort of thrown me on a bus here, haven't you? Or, but the way you're like talking, you're like, no, Andrew, no, all we're going to do is use you like a scapegoat and then kick you out. Like you you basically, you say the thing that can't be said.
Exactly. Oh, we have just brought you in to get rid of you tomorrow.
You know, like, you know, like, no, it's not that we're throwing you under a bus. There's a bus and we've just put you in front of it.
We just
so that we don't. No, mate. It's so we don't get kicked out. So yeah, no one knows we're.
Yeah, but you go and do, you'll be fine.
It was so good.
We'll hit you in the face.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
But
you'll be dead.
Don't think about it. It was almost like you were going, I don't want you to think about that.
Yeah.
I'm murdering you and I don't want you to be aware of it. Is that okay?
And also, don't be offended by it.
Yeah. Please don't be upset by this.
Like, this is almost like an honour.
Yeah.
That so you're well
done, it's like you're going, yay!
Well done, mate. Now go and throw yourself off that cliff.
He's just like completely, like the colour drained from his face. I don't know what's happened now. I don't know. Oh my God, brilliant. Right, so my daughter's other questions.
Yes.
So on that thing, why Andrew? Why did you go for Andrew?
Well, I mean, what a great link. I loved him. I loved him. And I thought he would be able to come in. He would trust me and Harry. And then we would throw him under the bus the next night.
So that was literally fun. So even though you're saying I really liked him and I bonded with him,
yeah,
but there was no, is there anyone you wouldn't kill?
So no, the only one,
that's the game, isn't it?
Well, that is the game. The only person that I had no thoughts on was Harry. So I would, I thought me and Harry would win the show. And I think if he didn't get me out, we would have won that show. And it's 50 grand each.
Yeah.
But then he's seen an opportunity to get me out, which doubles his money.
It reminded me a lot of Megatron and Starscream from the Transformers franchise. It had that. That's probably too. Actually, you're not an 80s kid, are you?
But I'm not 80s, but I love Transformers.
It's the big baddie and then his little sidekick. But the little sidekick is actually more evil than the big baddie and is going to bump him off at some point. He's traitorous. Traitorous, literally. But anyway, my daughter's last question is, why not Harry then? Why didn't you? Because even in that, she reckons even in that last time when he turned on you, you then didn't call him out or anything?
No. Because I genuinely thought, and like me and Harry were on the train together, we felt like the main two traitors in the show. Mm. And I did genuinely connect with him, genuinely trust him. And I didn't think he was going to backstab me. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to backstab him. And I thought, we're going to go and win the show. That was literally the game plan type of thing. And then when he did call me out, because I'm so in the game, not one part of me was going to throw him under the bus. I find that is so weak.
I've enjoyed every bloody second of this. So let me just ask you something related to the point of this podcast, which is the neurodiversity. So what I was going to talk to you about was reading people, right?
Yeah.
The problem I have is reading people, is knowing where they're coming from. And this is also, you know, getting too heavy, like to do with sort of trauma things as well. But it's like I can't tell what someone's going to be, or I can't always predict where they're at. Or sometimes I think they're very annoyed with me, or I've done something wrong. Do you know what I mean? When I haven't. And sometimes I think they're totally fine. I don't realize they're actually really upset.
Yeah.
And I find it generally quite hard. And I find even as a stand-up, reading the audience, a lot of my best stuff, because I go for if I see someone who looks like they're not having fun, I kind of go for them.
Oh, really?
Especially like weirdly, like blokes like Andrew, like big blokes, I'll sort of go, right, get him before he can, do you know what I mean? And then it sort of creates this tension and excitement in the room, which I think is works well. But in actual fact, I'm like, and often it will be someone will come up to me afterwards and be like, oh, I love that. And I'm thinking, you know, I'll tell your face, you know. But,
but that's true though, right?
But what do you have any tips or thoughts? Because you seem to be very good at that. Or is it just that you assume the best or whatever?
No, so I try and not assume. and then I try and ask questions. So like, I learn a lot from someone from just typical behavior, but then if I do think someone is doing something, you've got to ask, you've got to call them out. You've got to kind of say, are you being a bit weird there? Because sometimes it's difficult, if, especially like I'm in the corporate world. So I have a lot of heated conversations all the time.
Right.
And if you don't let anybody ever go away with any type, when with you having an assumption on them and them having assumptions on you, they right. might think he's a wanker and you might think, God, he was a bit off with me. Why was that? Whereas if in that moment you actually ask the question, are we okay? Do you, is that all right with you? I don't want to come across like this. Like, how do you feel about that? Yeah. I think asking questions with people is the best way to connect with them. And you learn more.
Confront it in the moment rather than...
You've got to do what makes you... There's a really cheesy saying, which is be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So like, instead of just kind of, sometimes a lot of people can just run away from any type of conflict. Mm-hmm. From a trauma perspective, and then also like, you know, in the adult world, because that's what you probably did as a kid, right? You yeah. see conflict and you run away. That's what I did. I was a runner offer. And yeah, I'll go yeah. make people laugh. I'll get bullied, but then I'll make the bullies laugh.
I freeze is my thing. You know, I kind of tend people. To just like do nothing. I just don't know what to do. And sometimes...
I was a runner.
Right.
I'm running off.
Right. Because apparently it's fight or flight or freeze. And then there's another one, which is fawn, which is as in like... fawn on someone, you know, like kind of
you fornicate
make things
them.
Right for them.
Wow.
You fornicate. No, and fornicate is the last one. And then just fuck them.
Sorry. If all else fails.
Yeah.
Just yeah, start to read people to have sex.
Yeah. It's the answer.
No, it's true.
Right. So, but yeah, so confront them in the moment. And what I have started doing recently, because I often will come away, even people I'm good friends with, and it really, I'm like, I think I might have said something wrong there. I think I might have upset them there. Or I think, and I just message them or ideally see them or speak to them as quick as possible.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And
just check
nothing,
in.
Nothing bad can come from it. God, I was a knobhead before. Are you okay with that? Yeah, you weren't a knobhead. Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting on it and having that stew. But yeah, there is no right and wrong. I genuinely believe that most people in the world are good people at heart. Even the people, I was talking to Kate the other day about people that troll me and give me shit online, and I was like, these probably aren't bad people. They're probably dads. They're probably having stressful lives. They're probably really funny and really loving with other people. He's just called me a wanker. Like, that doesn't mean that he is. It's just maybe something that needs to change in him.
Like, and often they're just trying to connect to you. Like people, I don't really get much shit, but when I do just get some random stuff, and it's like, they just want a connection.
Yeah, they do. I said this on Chatterbox the other day. They want, like, the only way they feel like they might be able to connect with a person is by giving them shit and then you respond to it. It's like, oh, I've got a response. I've got a rise.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, like, yeah, I think don't assume and don't expect the worst from people and just try and be nice and happy and positive, I guess. And then people might mirror it. And then, you know, you end up having nice conversations, right?
Lead by example.
Lead by example, but then don't do a wellness podcast about it and do all that and then, you know, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Just do it naturally and then we're all good. Oh, I'd love to have talked to you more about neurodiverse stuff as well, because that is a thing that it feels new, and then it kind of helps you find a place in the world. Like, it doesn't give you an excuse about anything, but it kind of gives you kind of an area where you can kind of sit with people that were like you and you're not on your own, that type of thing.
Oh, it's wonderful. You can understand. And there's so many levels, because there's autism, ADHD, obviously. And then there's times where you go, actually, do I do that much, whatever? And then there's one which is autism and ADHD, which quite a few people have. But then interestingly, they struggle with ADHD people and autistic people, but they're all right with people who have both. So it's weird, you know, but it's really open, just blown my mind. And it's just... You know, and some people are like, there's quite a backlash to it now, but I think it's just explained so much to me, and it's empowered me massively, you know. But anyway, dude, 100%, if you ever want to come back in season 3.
Maybe we'll talk about ADHD next, because I've never been diagnosed or searched.
Well, I think you might be. I mean, I don't know. I've got no qualifications or anything, but.
Well, you just have it.
I could recognize you.
You can recognize bits. Yeah, I get it.
Not impossible by any means, but I don't. What do I bloody know? But
there you go. I've just been diagnosed on
the end we send you a like a certificate with like your diagnosis on it and stuff, and like a little
you badge. Have and then X
you have to wear the ADHD badge all the time. That's or get it tattooed if you want. I'm getting
on my forehead.
What you got to go, but what kind of thing do you want to go into? You want to go into acting?
So, well,
I want to acting like characters or.
Oh, I'd love to do something like that.
Sort of thing I do.
I think I want to go on the radio and do stuff because that's another little secret part of my life that I love. I want to do a pod and I want to do acting in some degree, a comedic actor, kind of being in your footsteps, Colin, would be unbelievable. Seeing the stuff that you've done, it's just...
Oh, man. I'd love to see you do an hour or a 20 minutes at the Etcetera Theatre in Camden or something like that, you know.
Well, I've been asked to do panto at Christmas and play the bad guy in... Jack and the Beanstalk, where you play the giant.
Are you doing it?
Well, I don't know yet. I kind of feel like I should.
Gotta do it.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? I'm 6'5", so I am a giant.
Great. You'd be great.
I'll play the Beanstalk.
You could do all sorts of acting. I think do some, not sound like I'm telling you what to do, but do some classes. Try
it. Really?
Just enjoy it. Like yeah, improvising and stuff like that and like playing around and...
But my attention, I haven't got the attention to go to class. Can I not just go straight in?
Why can't I just want to be in Hollywood? Why are you making me do? Why are you making me?
Yeah. I want to go to LA.
Why are you making me practice? I'm there now.
Yeah, I can do it. I promise.
Yeah. Oh, why would they do that? They're not. I'm thinking of Theo now. Theo's like that, isn't he? I'm obsessed with Theo.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Why would they kill her? I don't understand. Bless him, Paul. Thanks so much, mate. I'll let you go.
Oh,
that was the best time.
That was a blast. That was fast, wasn't it? Deary me.
So when was to go at it?
You're gone.
Like OnlyFans, innit?
Oh, well, wait for him. Dan, it's lovely to see you and actually meet you face to face, mate.
Yeah, you too. You too.
What a cheers, moment. Paul. Well, have a good meeting. And
yeah, it's lovely to talk to you. You're both amazing. And I'm off.
Cheers, Paul.
Cheers, man.
Bye, guys. See you.
Sort your brain out, baby, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out, and let the sun shine in. Sort your brain out, lady, sort your brain out. It's crazy, sort your brain out, don't let the bad guys win. Sort your brain out, mate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.